Support for this podcast comes from Troy University, dedicated to teaching a new generation to lead change. Information on leadership opportunities available to students from day one is at troy.edu/leadchange.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Last week, Montgomery CPA Lynn Bozeman visited the Exchange with tax tips for businesses. Today, in part two of her interview, Lynn shares tax tips for individuals. The Troy graduate has served as past chair of the Alabama Society of Certified Public Accountants, and Lynn joins us by Skype from her office at Richard, Harris, Ingram, and Bozeman. Lynn, thank you again for joining us for In Focus.
Well, thank you.
Lynn, you know, last Thursday we were talking about taxes on businesses and corporations. Today we're talking about taxes for individuals. So there's some big news out there.
There is, and there's just a fair amount of stuff going on with individual taxes this year, and a lot of it was in the state of Alabama. They did some good things this year that were pretty helpful. Alabama is temporarily exempting overtime pay from taxation. So any overtime pay that you receive from January 1st of 24 to June 30th of 25 is going to be exempt from Alabama taxes. Your employer will have to keep up with all of that, which will be a little bit of record-keeping burden for employers, but employees will just roll on and pay less taxes on it. One of the big things that have been affecting a lot of our clients is they exempted the first $6,000 of retirement plan distributions for taxpayers who are 65 or over. In the past, anything that was a defined benefit pension plan was exempt from Alabama tax. But if you got a distribution from an IRA or a defined contribution plan, it was taxed. But this applies to all retirement distributions, and it applies for each spouse. So if you have two married spouses that are both retirees, then that would be $12,000 on that tax return to be exempt from tax, which will save a lot of people a lot of money.
You're talking about exempt from Alabama state taxes, but not the feds?
No, not the feds. Feds are still the same way, just Alabama.
What about qualified charitable distributions, your RMD from the IRAs?
Well, that's actually been around, started, I think, during the pandemic, maybe a little before. More and more people are finding out about it every year, and really, it's just a fantastic technique. If you're getting a required minimum distribution or an RMD from your IRA, then you would qualify to do this. You would want to have charitable intent. If you get this required minimum distribution from your IRA and you have charitable intent, you could have the IRA pay directly to the charity, and it does some great things. You don't pick up the IRA income in your income. It's just not there at all. Of course, you don't get to deduct the resulting contribution either. And the really great thing about that is that it keeps your income lower, and that income is used to calculate your Medicare premiums. So the lower that income is, the better. And if you haven't been able to itemize to take a benefit for those contributions, then you're kind of getting a deduction for it too. So you're having your cake and eating it too and keeping your income low, which is a benefit on those premiums.
As far as these required minimum distributions go, isn't the law stating that you have to start taking these RMDs at what, age 70 and a half?
Well, they have raised that under the SECURE Act and again under SECURE 2, and it's up to 73 now. So you get to put it off a little bit longer than you used to.
Lynn, what about this child credit legislation that's stalled in Congress right now?
This big pending bipartisan bill that's sort of languishing in the Senate that's already been passed by the House, and President Biden has said he would sign it if it got to his desk, that would extend the child credit. And this is going to be a benefit to all the parents that claim their children on their tax return. There's also a provision in there that would reinstate bonus depreciation to 100% rather than the 80% it's currently deducting at for 2023, and that drops to 60% in 2024. So you would want to amend your return if they pass that, or you could just go ahead and extend your return now and wait and see if that bill does pass, and probably wouldn't hurt to call your congressman and give him a nudge. But these changes could also impact businesses with R&D credits, too. So if you have a business flow through that does that, then that would impact that as well. So you may want to consider extending your return and seeing if that particular bill passes, because that's going to be a boon to a lot of people.
If you do an amended return, is there a penalty for that?
Well, since you would be doing one to get money back, then no. But your tax preparer probably is going to charge you to prepare it.
From your almost four decades as a certified public accountant, what are the biggest mistakes you see people making?
One thing that we have seen people do a good bit in the state of Alabama is miss the fact that those defined benefit plans were not taxable. And so they paid tax on defined benefit plans in the state, which include military retirement. One of the mistakes I see most often is people getting confused about how to file about filing statuses. So we'll have a married person come in and they'll be like, my wife is claiming the kids and she's taking head of household and I'm going to file single. And that's not quite the way that works. You're either married or you're single. And if you're single, you can also be head of household. If you're married, you're either married filing joint or you're married filing separate. If you're married, you don't just choose to file single and somebody be head of household. That one, the IRS does not like that. So we've seen a good bit of that being done and just missing the deductions for the lack of taxability of the defined benefit plans. That's probably the thing I see the most.
Another thing that I'm curious about is if you have young adult children, number one, how long can you claim them as dependents? And secondly, if you want to give them some money to sort of get started in life, what are the tax implications of that?
Well, gifts to your kids aren't taxable. You can give them $17,000 is what the number was for 2023 every year. And you can also do the same thing with your husband or your spouse. So the two of you together could have given them $34,000 in 2023 without incurring any filing requirements for gift tax. But even so, the receipt of a gift is not a taxable transaction to the child. You can claim them on your tax return until they're 24 if they're a full-time student. But after 18, whether they're employed or not, you're done if they're not full-time students in a college. You can claim them sometimes as other dependents if their income is below whatever the threshold is set for that year, and that changes year to year.
And I've read it's wonderful to give money to your kids, but don't jeopardize your own retirement plans.
Absolutely. You would, and that's a tough balancing act to choose whether to let them take on student loan debt, which is just oppressive, or whether to endanger your retirement. But you're going to retire one way or the other. And so you need to be able to live there. So I would say it's a fine line to walk, but no, you wouldn't want to endanger your retirement. Also, too, you need to be kind of careful if your child is filling out a FAFSA to get college student aid, that you don't endanger that by giving them money or putting accounts in their name. One cool thing for parents that happened a couple of years ago is that 529 plans, I think that this just came into effect in 23. 529 plans that you set up for your kids' tuition, used to, if they didn't use that for college and you pulled the money out, you got taxed on it. If they didn't use it, you had to do something with it. And now you can roll that into a Roth IRA for the child. So that is a great change for 529 plans.
That is great, great news. Lynn, is there anything else you think your listeners need to know during tax season?
There's a pass-through election that if you're in a pass-through entity that you can make to let the pass-through entity pay the tax for you. And that's reasonably new that a lot of people don't know about. And that's probably about all I can think of for this year.
It sounds like it would be wise to consult a certified public accountant.
Oh, I would say so. There's a lot of things going on right now, and a lot of them have fairly serious consequences if you miss them.
Well, I certainly want to thank you for your time today and sharing your expertise with your listeners here on The Exchange by Skype.
Always enjoy talking to you.
Joining us by Skype for The Exchange was Montgomery CPA Lynn Bozeman, who has served as past chair of the Alabama Society of Certified Public Accountants. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.